Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Thriving Marriage. I'm excited to be back. My name is Heather Choate. I'm here with Mark Johnston. How's it going, Mark?
It's good. I'm doing well. Yeah, I think it's been a little while since you and I have done one of these together.
It has been. Yeah, we moved locations. So in our new house now, and that took up a big chunk of time. Plus then we just had lots of family traveling. But yeah, excited to be back here with you guys. Today, we're going to be talking about how to give space in a relationship. This is something that we've heard a lot from you guys that are listening to the podcast. You talked about my spouse wants space. They're saying they need space. They want separation or something because they need more space, or I'm not giving them enough space. So we're going to get clarity on what that actually means when your partner's asking for space and then how you can provide that. Before we get to that, though, we're going to do our client win of the week. This is actually a comment from our client on our last podcast episode. Mark, you want to share?
Yeah. So this is Paul. Paul is saying, addressing myself, Mark. So he says, Mark, I never gave up and things are finally getting better. Thanks to you. Says, I'm going to send you a message soon. So yeah, like the podcast was why people give up too soon on their relationship. And I recall Paul. And it's, you know, it's awesome that he finally got some results. I think a lot of what we talked about is there are some things that can be done to avoid perhaps, you know, that mistake of giving up too soon. And I'm glad Paul saw some results there after all of his hard work. So yeah, great.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, super excited for you, Paul. Keep listening, keep staying plugged in, and we're excited to hear your story there. Yeah. Now, over in our Thriving Marriage Facebook group, which is over 40,000 members now, which is incredible. If you guys want to join, if you're not a member yet, I encourage you to do that. It's just the Thriving Marriage group over on Facebook. We asked you guys, having personal space is important, right? But how much space is too much space in a relationship? All right. And the answers, of course, were all over the place, right? Some of you guys were saying like, I don't get any space. I definitely need more space. Too much space is if they're with someone else.
What I saw that I wanted to point out here is there are several people who said that there shouldn't be any space. And I found that really interesting. Actually, was really considering this as I was thinking about what we wanted to talk about today on the podcast, because I found that idea really interesting.
Right.
I've certainly heard from people who say things like there shouldn't be any privacy or there shouldn't be like anything hidden. And to a certain extent, I can understand that. But like you said, the answers were all over the place. Like, okay, this is fine, but these other people say no space is fine.
Yeah. There's even like this allusion to your vows, like you don't vow to give each other space. So I think it's curious what we are talking about when we're talking about space, and specifically when your partner's saying they want space. And this is one of the things that we want to get clarity on, because it's one of those narratives or beliefs that your partner may have developed about you and the marriage. And it could be one of those things that's preventing them from wanting to come back to you. And we're going to talk about healthy space versus what's too much or unhealthy space and what purpose it may or may not serve to help you in your relationship.
Yeah. So I do think that this is a bit of a complicated topic. And I think it would be good to discuss why that's complicated. But I do want to recognize that a lot of people ask for space. And I also want to recognize that sometimes space just causes issues. It causes problems. And this is like the big crux of the dynamic within the relationship is, you know, a lot of people would agree space to a certain extent is needed. And too much space is problematic. So I don't know, when do you think, when does space actually create problems, Heather?
I think that if there's so much space that it's really preventing like connection or trust, that there's just so much actual like disconnection, that the space is creating more opportunity to live lives that are kind of separate from each other, that's when it can be too much of a problem. And also when it's used as like a crux or an excuse not to solve problems. Mm-hmm. As I've shared before in the podcast, the dynamic that tends to be in my marriage, which is less and less now, which is really fun, but I tend to be the one that pursues and Ben tends to be the one that withdraws, right? And puts up walls and would rather avoid problems and I would rather confront problems. So when they're just saying I need space just because they don't want to deal with a problem, then that is a problem, right? There needs to be a healthy way to be able to address issues. And if that isn't present in a relationship, then the idea of I just need space so I don't have to feel uncomfortable about dealing with an issue, obviously is not going to lead to a healthy relationship long term.
Yeah,
if you're feeling like smothered by you though, like because I tend to, you know, push too much in the past and push to have things resolved in a way that didn't feel good to him, then obviously he's going to be asking for and needing a little more space from that kind of like smothering, anxious pushing to try to get everything resolved. Right. And so if I don't give him space, in other words, room to emotionally process things, then he will create it himself by just shutting down. So when people don't feel safe, they're always going to instinctually want more space because it doesn't feel safe. We all do that, right? If we're with someone and they're like freaking out and we don't feel emotionally safe, our instinct or even physically safe, right, is to back away and create space there. So it can be helpful in a way of like, it's a good feedback tool, but space in and of itself isn't actually like a solution. It can give a momentary reprieve and that kind of a smothering situation to kind of process things. But there needs to be a way to come together to resolve issues. What have you seen, Mark?
I would agree. I like what you said that it can cause problems in preventing connection or trust. I think this is especially apparent when there's, say, hidden information on phones or emails and messages and bank accounts. It also can really prevent some connection. Like if you've moved to separate bedrooms or even homes, that can really prevent opportunities for more natural connection. I see some people say, okay, we need to be separated to resolve some issues and to give us a bit of a break, but then they don't really accommodate some of those needs for building up trust or building up connection in those scenarios. I also think that like when you really create a lot of space, I think there needs to be a lot of room for like your own personal life. But if you are starting to create completely separate lives from each other, that's when it can become problematic. Like if you have separate friend circles, you have the possibility to prevent these shared positive experiences if you're overly relying on those other relationships. Or perhaps as couples are seeking to fulfill a lot of needs separately, such as friendship, self-improvement, or just even fun, it tends to remove that bit of commitment in the relationship itself. Like if I'm not really getting much out of the relationship because I'm going elsewhere, why am I in the relationship? And I do think this idea of like creating separate lives and preventing trust and connection, I think is a big concern for people who are wanting less space. They're saying, I need you closer. I'm concerned about certain things. Like basically, there's a reason why people might be concerned about it. I mean, like we said earlier, I think someone in the Facebook group was arguing that no personal space should exist within marriage. And I, once again, I just found that idea, that thought interesting. And so like the big question I think here today is there room to have healthy personal space within a dedicated and long-term relationship? Is that possible? Is that needed? Is that worthwhile?
I'd love to hear comments as you guys are thinking about that. And, you know, right here in the comment section, if you're watching on YouTube or online or even in the group, and let us know what you guys think. But yeah, to consider that question, let's start with some other questions. So first, why would anyone desire space within a marriage? So Mark, what do you see with people who want space in a marriage? Where is that really coming from?
Well, I mean, you were saying something earlier. You're saying not having enough space can lead to someone feeling smothered. And you're saying, okay, Ben tends to create a little bit of distance if you're really chasing after him a whole lot. But I do think that, with people who want space, it really comes down to actually some really healthy ideas, in my opinion. They're wanting some desire for freedom or consideration. And you might say, oh, you don't need freedom in a marriage, but really it's about, are their choices considered within the relationship? If we had to go in a negative route, are they not feeling controlled? I think that's a really healthy thing to consider. Like, is there consideration for each person's choices? Because I generally see that if that is the case, there's not a whole lot of need for space. I see this other areas where other factors here where people might want space is if there are a lot of demands placed on them, especially see this with parents. I don't know about you, Heather, but do you ever just want your kids to leave you alone so you can have a moment for yourself without someone asking you something?
Never. That's never happened in 16 years of being a mother. Now I'm being sarcastic. Of course. Yeah.
Well, and I think anyone who's been a parent or anyone who's been in a very close long-term relationship, at some point they're like, I just don't want anyone else to ask me for something.
Yeah.
It makes sense then to have some space. If you're by yourself, you can attend to your own needs. No one's going to ask you to do anything.
Right.
Makes sense why someone might desire that. I also think like a way to make choices without others second guessing them or wanting things to be different. I'm thinking of like my daughter specifically in this case. One of my daughters is very outspoken and I have another one who is a bit more quiet and they interact a lot. And sometimes the quieter daughter just wants some time for herself away from her sister because she doesn't want to have to accommodate someone else's choices. Like they might want some similar things, but she I can see that we've had a discussion like this. She wants to seek out some time to herself because she doesn't want someone giving her a hard time about her choices for relaxation. So if she wants to watch a specific show, like this quiet daughter, she likes watching those fixer upper home renovation shows. No one else really wants to watch that. So she'll go and watch it on her own because then she doesn't need to deal with anyone complaining. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I imagine, I know I feel like that sometimes. I don't know about you, Heather. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you guys feel like this is appropriate? Is this healthy? Why not? I think you touched on a really important part there, that the desire for freedom or just having our own choices be considered typically tends to show up if they're feeling very controlled, very manipulated, like they don't have a voice, they don't have a say in the relationship or in what's going on. And that tends to really backfire. And oftentimes we'll see it swing to the other end of the spectrum, that they are so tired of being controlled that they'll go way over here to try to get some freedom and have some choice and have some control in the relationship. And it tends to get really out of balance until both parties learn how to accommodate each other, how to give some ability for choice and freedom in a way that is healthy and appropriate. Sometimes there's also so much trauma or fear that you can't let your spouse take a break or have some space because you're afraid they're going to cheat on you or I don't know whether the fears come up, but these different stories and beliefs come up about that time away, that then that gets kind of, again, smothered, which then makes the person that feels like they need a break want it even more. And they're tired of being controlled or smothered. So in my opinion, it is healthy to be able to take a step away from demands of others and have some personal time. And I also think it's really important to be able to make choices that are understood or at least, you know, considered by the partner, and that we each have a little bit of that autonomy to have our own personality and our own you know, desires and how we want to spend time. Mark, what do you think?
Well, let's flip this all on its head, because we've been saying space is good. Space is good
in this way. Yeah.
Yeah. In this certain way. But you were just talking about, you know, like the other side of the coin there, like where people are not wanting for there to be space. So you're saying that, like, hey, there's some concerns here. So, like, that's the next kind of big question here. Like, what is wrong with space? And why would anyone have any problem with allowing for space if we've been saying it's fine and it's good and it's okay? So what I tend to see, a lot of what you said there, I think space can create insecurity. It can lead people to question how their needs will be considered or met. Every single time, you know, when I've heard someone be really anxious about some space, like we get clients all the time, don't we, who say, my partner wants a separation. My partner is considering moving out of the bedroom. And that's really worrying me. I mean, it's essentially too much space. So I even, like, at one point, like it gets turned around and these people wanting space get painted in a negative light. A person on our Facebook group was commenting that people who want space are actually selfish. And put another way, you know, I want to have understanding for this individual who might be concerned with more responsibilities placed on them, with perhaps losing connection with a partner, or perhaps with losing some control over some of their circumstances. And I think if we really had to summarize this, if we really had to kind of get down into what this is about, I think, you know, a lot of people are concerned with, you know, some bigger things, like their partner falling in love with someone else, their partner drifting away. But like the big theme is insecurity. That seems to me like if we had to put it all under one big umbrella, people who are not wanting or who are wanting less space are doing so because they would like to feel more secure. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen this play out many times. But the problem is that the root of what they're wanting is security, and the root of what the other person is wanting is maybe a little more freedom or autonomy, right? Mm-hmm. And when this isn't handled in a way of understanding and perspective, right? Path perspective, is that then they tend to try to grab more control so that they feel more secure. And the person that already feels like they're being too controlled or too smothered wants more space. And it tends to just lead to a further and further, bigger gap, right? Yeah. And so there's a way to handle this that you can really understand where you're both coming from. So the person that's feeling insecure with this idea of space can feel secure. And the person that's feeling like, I need a cool off period, or I need to just wrap my mind around what's going on here, or I need to find myself, or I need more freedom, they are able to have that need met as well in a way that works for both people, until that root issue there of kind of this pattern is resolved in a healthy manner. And you have a functional relationship where you can where you can both have the give and take there.
So I think, like, what you're saying here is there needs to be room for each person's needs here. And we want to say, like, each of these needs, I think, are legitimate or even healthy. It's normal to want some security in your relationship. And I would say it's normal to want some consideration for your choices, even if it's you're needing that space from your children or your spouse. Like, you want that consideration there. And I think that's where a lot of these arguments are coming about. They're saying, I don't have a way to meet this need, so I have to go to such an extreme in order to get it. Like, I'm thinking about this situation within my own relationship. And I'll say, Jen and I don't really have this struggle. And I'm thinking, well, why is that the case? I don't really feel a need to, you know, have a lot of privacy or personal space, personal information that is, you know, kept away from Jennifer. But I also feel like it's because a lot of that is because my needs for feeling considered, my choices are really supported well. and vice versa. And there's a lot of discussion between Jen and I about like what is needed, you know, what we're looking for from each other. And, you know, if we need a little bit of time to ourselves, that's, it's not just allowed, but it's actually supported and encouraged at times. So, I mean, this does bring us back to our big question. Is there room to have healthy personal space within a dedicated long-term relationship? I mean, I was just describing how that works for myself. So what is this like, ultimately, you know, what is, if we had to summarize everything up, what would we say is the big summary here? How would you have healthy space, do you think, Heather?
Yeah, I think it comes back to, like you said, that consideration of what each person is needing and wanting. And we talked about the unhealthy pattern where the person that feels insecure pushes for more, you know, more closeness and more connection and less space. And then the person that wants space feels even more smothered or controlled. So then they push for even more space, and on it goes. And this is the thing that Mark and I tend to see. I don't know. Do you agree, Mark? That this is what I see so often, is that when your partner's pulling away, then you tend to grasp even more out of desperation and fear, yes, which then pushes them away even more. And then they want more space until it gets to the point of divorce is on the line. And now they want out because they're like, I'm done. You're not listening to me. I don't feel heard here. I don't have any room here to have positive feelings towards you, right? Mm-hmm. So it really leads into a deterioration of the relationship. And we've looked at this through many different models or lenses, you know, different levels. You know, remember that level one, I can't remember what you called it, but the, you know, the decline of our marriage versus the building up of a relationship.
Mm, yeah, that was the NAPS relationship model. But yeah, the level one, yeah, is where you start to have some differentiation, and that starts to not go well. Different ideas, different needs aren't really considered. But yes, yeah, that would be that level one.
Thank you. It's been a few months, so that was a healthy refresher for me. And so many people don't know how to handle this, and it's very scary, and it puts them into fight, flight, or freeze mode, and they act out of instinct. And when we're in that kind of mode, we really can't be relied upon individually in and of ourselves to navigate that well, because we just get too emotional. We just become too instinctual, and we tend to just self-sabotage and make the situation even worse. And that seems like a really bleak picture. And it is for most couples. It is. That's why most couples in this situation do end up getting divorced. But here's where we come in, and we have a radically different approach for helping heal that kind of relationship and turn it around. So you don't just keep going declining down those different levels till the disintegration, the termination of the relationship. We help you, even if you're down on one of those lower levels, to be able to pattern interrupt that and start to build some understanding between people and start to meet each other's needs. That brings us back here to the main answer. You told me to summarize it, but I'm going a little bit deeper into it. That's fine. Where then we start to get things going in the right direction, right? And it is going to be with a matter of care and time and outside perspective to know how to do that, and where you can actually get your own needs met while considering and supporting your partner in their needs as well. And as you feel like, you're understanding them more, they will feel understood. And then in time, they will want to understand you more and meet your needs more. And it starts to get you up closer to the healthy level of a happy, functional relationship. And so that's that cycle. The good news is that even if you've slipped down and you feel like they're just pulling away more and more and more, that you can do something about it. And it works really, really well. We've helped so many thousands of couples now to get there. And so that's what we invite you guys to learn how to do. And the beautiful thing is that when you get to that healthy level where you feel like your needs are respected and considered and supported, and they feel like their needs are respected and considered and supportive, then there really isn't so much of this issue, like Mark talked about, of like, I need space, right? It's more of like a clear request of like, hey, I'm feeling really burnt out. I could use some time to myself. Or, hey, I'm feeling like this is really intense conversation. Can we push pause on it for 24 hours? And then that is totally understood, and it's not threatening anymore. And the insecurity that you feel when your partner says that to you, like, it doesn't exist, right? because you've built up this level of trust and connection and intimacy. And so then that really resolves a lot of those underlying issues. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you've described the dynamic between you and Ben several times. You talked even about today where you're saying, okay, you need to pursue certain things and Ben sometimes wants to take a step away. Mm-hmm. How do you and Ben handle that? So that, because would you agree that this is for you and Ben, it's about you wanting some security in your interactions and Ben wanting a moment for him to handle the things how he wants to handle them. Like, how are you handling those requests? What makes it feel healthy for the two of you?
So it really comes down to understanding what that really looks like for him versus mm-hmm. the story I was telling about that, because that story I was telling myself about what he was saying or doing was based on my own fears and my own beliefs that weren't true. And so when I actually understood, that's where we go to like perspective, right? And understanding where he was coming from, it wasn't that he was wanting out. It wasn't that he was wanting to be with someone else or was going to go have a conversation with someone else on his phone or something. You know, those are all the thoughts and fears that I had that were simply not true, right? And even if that is true in your case, then you still have to get to the root of why that's happening. I just want to make a note there. Yeah. And so when I understand, like, he just is a little overwhelmed emotionally right now, and he processes things internally and I process things externally. Can I give him that grace that we're different about that? You know, can I give him some understanding and give us both the ability to be who we are and allow us to process things the way that we do? And I had to be like, yeah, I can. And so really clear requests are what take us out of that drama triangle. That's another model that we like to use a lot to describe some of these patterns and these reoccurring things that show up. And so, you know, saying, when in the next 24 hours can we talk about this? So that gives him the time, accommodation for him, understanding for him, but it also is what works for me so that I don't feel continually insecure or feel like we'll never come back to it because he doesn't ever want to talk about it. We make that agreement between us and that works really well for both of us. I haven't actually had to say that now in probably 8 or 9 months. So yeah. That's been an improvement in even of itself. So it may be one of those like clear requests, kind of like a tool that we used for a time the past couple of years before that, as we were learning how to give ourselves grace and really understand our differences. But now I feel like it's a lot even more natural than that. So it may have been a tool that was like really serving us at that time. And now it feels like we are able to just to talk about it and there's even less resistance, probably because we built up more security and trust in each other that I would respect his request for 24 hours and he would respect my request to actually talk in 24 hours, right? So that built up probably a different level of trust that now that doesn't even really need to happen. Mark, what about you? What do you feel like are some things that help you handle space within your relationship? You said it's not really a thing that you feel like you need, but your marriage or
yeah, others. I mean, it's still good to take a look at that. I mean, it sounds for you and Ben, it's a lot about there's allowance. There's allowance for you to be who you need to be. And yeah, like I was saying earlier, it's not really been a huge issue on, except in like some very small, minute areas, but like privacy hasn't really been a concern for Jen and I. And, you know, a large piece of that is because I knew that if I was open about things with her, with Jen, then it wouldn't be used against me or it wouldn't, you know, it's not even that, like, cause that wasn't even a consideration. Like as I share things with her, it's just, I've had enough positive experiences where I've been very open with Jen and it's generally been rewarded. Like when I share things with her, she's very appreciative. She's very respectful of any amount of sharing that we have between each other. And so that's why it's never really been a concern if I show Jen messages that I have in my email or text messages or any number of other messages. It's always been open because I know she's going to respond well. So like what we have there is a whole lot of security. In my personal opinion, I think a lot of times when that's a problem, you know, if there is a need for space or some sort of private life, it's because that private life isn't made to feel okay. And so that's why people tend to retreat. But like I said, you know, for Jen and I, that's not our struggle. And it's largely because the being very close has generally been very rewarded. Each of our choices are generally fairly considered. And generally for the two of us, we might need to take some extra time to make sure that, like you said, that our needs or requests are clear. But, you know, once it is a bit more clear, we've generally been very allowing for those needs and requests. And so I think it's a pretty healthy way to go about at least that dynamic within the relationship.
Yeah. So, I can almost hear Mark as you're sharing that, which is wonderful and beautiful. Like some people like screaming in their minds, like, but my partner isn't understanding of me. They aren't accommodating of me. They aren't, you know, respectful. Yeah. And that's exactly when this conversation needs to happen. And we need to build up levels of trust and security and connection in a way that feels good to both of you. And if that feels really far and distant from where you are right now, then that's time to have a conversation with an expert like Mark and I and our team here at High Thrive, because we can help you understand why your spouse might not be receiving that feedback well, or why they might be feeling like they need to keep part of their lives private or secret from you, or maybe why you feel like you need to keep part of your life private or secret from your spouse. So lots of different levels here when we're talking about space. There's definitely a certain healthy level that we talked about that, you know, we can give each other time, we can give each other a break from responsibilities, we can appreciate each other and accommodate their, understanding their choices and their opinions, right? To have consideration of their choices. And then there's this unhealthy level where that kind of level of space can lead to more disconnection and the development of two separate lives. And so no matter where you are in that spectrum, just know that you can get to where you want to be when you start to learn some new things and you start to realize what patterns have led you to that point and how to interrupt those patterns and create some new healthy patterns that will give you a much more secure and free feeling relationship.
Yes.
All right. Any final thoughts on that, Mark?
I think we're good. Should we move on to our marriage mythbuster?
Yes. I really like this one. Marriage mythbuster. Things will be better after ... So insert the blank. I think probably as a human being, we have all thought or felt this in some way at some time, right? Mm-hmm. Things will be better after we have kids. Things will be better after the kids grow up. Things will be better after I finish school. Things will be better after we get the promotion, or things will be better after I lose so much weight, right? And so there is a big challenge that comes when we have this idea. So Mark, take it away.
And I don't think this is necessarily a myth. It's more just like a problem with execution, in my opinion. Because, you know, certainly there can be some truth to this. Like, you know, if you're going about goals correctly, things can be better after you achieve certain goals. You know, if there's alcoholism and the person attains sobriety, I would imagine that many things would be better. The problems start to arise with this idea, though, when there become rigid or unclear expectations, in my opinion. So if you're saying, hey, things will get better after we're married or after we have kids, it does create issues if what you're trying to achieve isn't discussed well, and there isn't really like a plan on how you're going to achieve it or how you're going to support those goals. I think that there can also be a lot of hurt feelings if there are setbacks and there isn't proper, like I said, support for these goals. Let's give that alcoholism example another go here. Like, let's pretend that the statement is things will be better after you go through rehab, one might say to their spouse. You know, is the expectation that there's going to be 100% sobriety after rehab? Is there going to be a lot of upset feelings if there is any amount of relapse? Like, I know, having worked in a rehab center, that it's not too uncommon to have like two steps forward and one step back with, in terms of addiction, and that you, it's healthier to look at progress over time than rather than within a given space. Like, is there sobriety within the space? And I think the same is, can be said for many problems. You know, beyond that, we don't want to use things will be better after as a crutch for us to say, well, I'll start being better. I'll stop drinking. We'll keep using that example. I'll stop drinking after we have kids. And we just kick the responsibility down the road a little bit, and it allows people to sit in some inaction a little bit longer. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on about like problems that come up around this sort of statement here, but I'd rather just, you know, discuss a better stance or statement. Like, I am making things better now by working towards blank, and, you know, be specific about it. It's much better to have specific goals, specific expectations, to have realistic expectations, and have plans for when there are setbacks, expecting there to be some. I do find that the couples who are trying to make things better all have those traits in common. They say, this is what I want. I'm clear about it. And we are anticipating some amount of trouble along the way there. And now we have a plan for what happens when there is trouble. So when it comes up, we know that we're not going to take 10 steps back. We're just going to take maybe a half step. So yes, like I said, this isn't so much a myth. It's just an error in thinking, and it tends to create some problems. And there's much better ways to go about this sort of statement that can lead to actually mutual goals and a lot of nice progress, rather than pushing back some of those goals, sitting on some inaction, or being disappointed with what doesn't happen.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right. So let's leave a comment here. I'd love to hear from you guys on what you learned today. Is there space for healthy space in a relationship? Yes or no? Do you guys have a new understanding of what that could look like? Maybe how you could give your spouse a little more healthy space by letting go of some of the need to control or manipulate, right? And really understanding what's the underlying issue there, so you can both get your needs met. And can you feel like you can give yourself some healthy space? If your spouse is wanting out and they're wanting more space from you because of that, then do you feel like you now understand a little bit more what you need to do to manage that healthily and successfully, so they don't keep pushing further away from you? And above all, we encourage you guys to book a free call with us if you're wanting more help with this. We are international marriage experts, and we can help you guys with this. So you can book a free call at highthrivecoaching.com/apply, and you can get on a free marriage assessment with one of us here at High Thrive Coaching. So let us know what you guys loved about this and anything that stood out to you. Mark, I don't know if you know, but I get comments on our masterclasses and here on YouTube and stuff about people that try what we say in the podcast, and they've come back and told me that it works. Yep. And I'm always like, great, keep doing it. And also know that everything we share with you here, while we do our very best to serve you, is the very high level overview. It becomes much more real and much more effective when you have a coach to guide you through your specific relationship and the exact things that are coming up that might be causing the issues that you're experiencing. So with that being said, I encourage you guys to reach out to us if you're wanting to see some massive momentum in your marriage. All right, next week, we're going to share with you why you are never happy in your relationship. What a happy title.
Oh yeah. I saw that. I was like, do I want to change that title? Like, but no, I think there's a lot of good that we can discuss with that sort of topic.
It'll be good. And I think that, you know, studies show 92% of people actually relate with that statement. So if you're feeling like you're never happy in your relationship, then please stay tuned next week as we share that with you, so that we can change that with you pretty quickly and get you more of a happy ending or happy beginning in your marriage. All right. Thank you, Mark. And thank you all for listening. Hope you guys take care.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.